Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? Today is November 5th, 2019. This is Steve Oltley with Freight Broker Live. Gonna start here in just a second. Finish straightening stuff up. As always, if you don't know who I am, my name is Steve. I am the brains, the bronze, and the expertise behind Freight Broker Live. The only news media outlet, blog, whatever you call it, videos and a couple of articles written by actual freight brokers that I know of. There could be other ones, but that's it. So I do have news, so we're going to start this off like I used to. We're going to cover the news. We'll cover the articles that I wrote recently, and then we'll go from there and see. Hold on, this is annoying me. And see what else is going on out there. I don't know why it looks lopsided, but whatever, right? But, and we'll talk about all that good stuff. As always, like to ask that you share this out to different groups. If you're watching that on Facebook, if you're watching it on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, all that stuff. It brings other people so they're able to see it and just gets a little bit more publicity out there. So we're going to jump right into the news. And let me see which one I want to start with. We'll start with the ELDs because that's what I wrote about this weekend. That blew up. Got a lot of people out there with the ELD outage. And OmniTrack CEO Ray Greer has been doing a pretty good job of updating everybody on what's been going on in terms of trying to get everything back online. He released the newest update came at 12 o'clock Central Standard Time, so just about an hour ago, and it says this. The OmniTrack team continues to work around the clock to solve connectivity issues with the MCP200, MCP110, and MCP50 devices. In his last update, which was yesterday around 9:30 at night, he reported that 60% of impacted devices had been updated with a new configuration file addressing the date time data issue that's currently going on. The dates are wrong. At this time, that percentage has climbed to 85%. This configuration file is an interim fix that will display today's date to the driver rather than 2000 or 2010. Last night, a patch was also deployed in our operations center that has improved location intelligence for impacted devices on the host, which is the back office. Which that means that even though drivers could continue to have a mixed experience throughout their trip, back office applications, including QTrax and OmniTrax hours of service, has significantly increased position and hours of service data to host operations. The patch could provide significant relief in terms of data availability and accuracy to the back office. Additionally, while this issue persists, drivers will need to manually capture their odometer readings as they cross state borders for IFTA reporting, should actively check the accuracy of their record of duty statuses on their devices, and maintain paper logs as a backup. Here's a crucial thing, too. In the event of an extension of the 8-day paper log limitation is required for any MCP devices, OmniTrax will take responsibility on your behalf in gaining an extension from the FMCSA and will provide required documentation for you on Friday. This is the most expedient and certain path should it become a necessity. And then he says, thank you for your continued patience, and he'll send another update at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time today. So I guess they're trying to fix the issue. No one really knows what the issue was. Some are saying it's a Y2K-like bug. Others are saying it was hacking, which is garbage because it's not hacked. Others are just saying, hey, it was an update that needed to be made. People didn't make the update. It looks like most of the megas did not make the update, and that's why so many trucks are affected. Most of the smaller companies that only have, one to 10 trucks all made the updates before the system crashed. And so they're unaffected. And because it was only three models, that kind of plays a part in it too. Hopefully they get that resolved pretty quickly though, because that's just a pain in the butt for everybody. Next story is one I wrote about this morning. Well, actually, I wrote it last night, but it has this morning's date on it, and it could be found on freightbrokerlive.com, which is freight rates remain low while operational costs reach an all-time high. A new ARTI report explains the highest operational cost of trucking to date. Costs associated with trucking have increased yet again, according to ARTI report, an analysis of operational costs of trucking released late Monday. The report indicated the average marginal cost to operate per mile rose from $1.69 in 2017 to $1.82 in 2018, which is a 7.7% increase. In 2008, the American Transportation Research Institute produced its first edition of an analysis of operational costs of trucking to provide an accurate marginal cost data for the trucking industry. Because most people should know what their costs to operate are, but apparently if you don't, here's an average of what most of the megas and the bigger companies state their operational costs are. According to the report, last year's cost reflects the highest operational cost in the data collection history for this topic, which, again, isn't that crazy because it started in 2008. But it just tells you the operational costs continue to come up, and rates being as they are right now are super duper low. Driver wages and benefits continue to be the number one cost for motor carriers, resulting in 43% of the operational cost per mile, which is kind of funny because, and there's a little bit more I wrote about, not a lot, but I'm going to use that. So remember, 43 cents per mile is what the ARTI is saying, or 43% of the operational cost per mile is the expense. There's an article released by PBS's Frontline. I don't really know what it is. It just showed up on my feed, so I figured I'd raise that. The article is titled, Could the Rise of Artificial Intelligence Put Truckers' Jobs in Peril? And it's written by Patrice something, Tadanino. And it's a very quick article. It doesn't really say much. But it's saying self-driving trucks may have once seemed like a futuristic vision, but in recent years, they've begun to take the road. Their implications for the labor market and long-haul truck drivers are, in particular, could be enormous. Let me see what this is. It says the trucking industry is a $740 billion a year. In most of these operations, labor is a third of that cost, said Steve Vaselli, author of The Big Red. In my estimate, we think there are a range of 300,000 or so jobs in the foreseeable future that could be automated to a significant extent. I don't know why people write this stuff. Now, it's kind of crazy because he put the operational cost to have employees or to have drivers at 33% when the actual, according to the ARTI, the operational cost is 43%. It's not, you guys don't have to worry. All right. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry yet. It's just news. It's not real. All right. Here's another one. The American Journal of Transportation said rates are improving as holiday freight starts to move. This is it, which I don't understand why, because the rates are not higher than what they were last year. But or maybe they are. They're not higher than what they were last month or in September for any mode. So but apparently they're coming up finally. So it. According to DAT, the DAT average for November for a dry van is $209 per mile. For October, it was $211. September, it was $216. So that rate is on a downward trend coming into a holiday, which is pretty gnarly. Flatbeds, the average is $212. October, it was $217. In September, it was $220. Again, I think the first one I did was reefer. I apologize for that. So you got reefers at $209 in November, $211 in October, and $216 in September. So that's clearly still a downward trend for reefer freight. September for flatbeds, it was $220, October $217, November $212. So that's clearly on a downward trend for flatbed freight. But if you notice there, Nate, who's an avid viewer of these videos, although I don't know if you are now, flatbed rates are higher than reefers. And then with dry vans, $1.84. $1.80, $1.79. So maybe you could say with the dry van freight, it's the decline into worse rates have slowed down. But based on the operational cost calculator by the ARTI, it shows that the rates are paying less what the operational cost is or should be in 2018. Who knows what it is now? It's only going to be higher than that. I guess, because that's going to continue an upward trend as costs keep coming up. And if rates keep coming down, what happens? You're going to end up running in the red based on the numbers that everyone is saying. These are not my numbers. These are other people's numbers. So that is that. Let me see what other news we got. So Uber Freight has more than doubled load volume in third quarter year over year, executive said Monday, which is pretty interesting. It says they freight bookings, defined as what shippers pay before discounts and refunds, grew to 81% over year, quarter three, to reach $223 million. Revenue grew slightly slower, up to 78% for the quarter to $218 million, but losses are growing too. Earnings before interest, taxes, and depreciation were down 161% to negative $81 million. One noticeable thing is the firm separated Uber Freight from its other bets category within financial reporting for the first time this quarter, meaning the segment bookings, revenue, adjusted net revenue, and adjusted EBITDA will be reported separately from now on, which is interesting because there was another article that was written out there on whether or not Uber will split its freight division off entirely and become a whole separate entity. So that's pretty interesting to think about. But again, I'm not going to dive too much into that because it's a financial stuff, and I know that bores people and no one wants to hear about it. And then what do we got here? So a trucking company, Wilson Logistics, petitions the FMCSA to allow pre-CDL drivers to run team. Wilson Logistics is petitioning the FMCSA to allow its commercial drivers, its commercial learner's permit holders, who have passed the CDL skills test, to drive a truck without a CDL holder in the front seat, effectively allowing them to drive team, to allow them to drive in team operations. Current regulations require the CLP holders be accompanied by a CDL holder in the front seat at all times. Wilson request would require a CDL holder in the truck at all times, but not necessarily in the front seat. Think in the back sleeping, covering more miles, making more money. Wilson says the exemption would allow a CLP holder to participate in revenue generating trip back to his or her state of domicile to obtain the CDL, which basically means they want to use teams and probably pay the new student drivers nothing while they're doing it. The company estimates that 400 to 500 CLP holders would operate under the exemption each year. Wilson also noted if these drivers receive their training and pass their skills test in their home state, they would receive their CDL and have been allowed to drive a truck without a CDL holder in the front seat. Kind of common sense there, but the FMCSA is asking for public comments to the request, which can be made at blah, 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 blah. That article is on overdrive.com. You can go over there and check that out. And then the last thing is kind of my personal, I thought it was pretty cool. It's a tech thing. It was an interview that Craig Fuller did on the television show. Let me see if I can find it. Craig Fuller interviewed, I don't want to butcher his name. He interviewed the CEO of Leaf Logistics. Now, I don't know much about it. And to be honest, I ended up taking a phone call halfway through the interview, so I wasn't able to get everything, but I read about it a little bit. Leaf Logistics seems to be, Leaf Logistics is an early stage startup based in New York, and it has another idea about moving freight. It's not going the digital marketplace and being a digital freight broker. Instead, it has a platform that allows shippers and carriers to enter into so-called forward contracts. Think RFPs with locked-in rates. The buying of selling future transportation capacity. The idea is to give companies a way to manage risk, rate risks, while eliminating many of the inefficiencies associated with legacy operating systems. It's interesting, you know, because they're essentially selling and buying forward contracts, which allow people to buy or sell an asset at a specific time at a given price. But forward contracts are not standardized. They are private agreements between two parties. It's pretty interesting. It's a neat little video. You guys should check it out. I think you can find it on FreightWaves TV or FreightWaves.com, or it's actually all over the place now. I saw it on YouTube. I didn't get to finish it, but the company, the way that they're doing it and the way they're looking to capacity, it's pretty genius in my opinion. And it's amazing when you look at how freight the technology advancements that freight is making every day. It's amazing. It's really amazing if you think about it. But that's me. Well, let me see. We got a couple of comments in here. We got Wayne said Uber and Amazon will dominate the industry eventually. Yes, they will. If you've never heard, I have a special tone for Uber. So when you are for
Amazon,
whenever I say
Amazon, I talk like this
because that is the sound that I think an Amazon computer would make if it actually got to speak. It would be like,
I am going to take over the world
or something like that. I don't know. It's funny to me. Whatever. But that's what I like. I like making, I talk about Amazon all the time. There's a video that's on YouTube. If you guys watch it, do like you, Amazon, what the hell is it? Amazon parody video. There's a video on there. You know, I actually saw the video the other day on the television where the Amazon boxes with the little Prime symbol are singing. Watch the video. It's very funny. It's not really appropriate for me to put in the video in these videos. I thought about doing it as like a 3-minute break halfway through, but it's pretty funny. The guy with a Matt Damon type accent, like the guy says, and he's had enough of listening to those Amazon boxes. It's pretty funny. James said, that's a bad idea. That's why trucking is so messed up. There's no real training or mentorship. No, I mean, I'm not a big believer in those CDL school trucking operate, whatever. I don't think drivers get paid enough, and I think they got locked in. I actually picked up a driver that had a CDL from, I forgot who he came off of. He came off of somebody, and he told me all about it. And then I actually hired another driver here in Florida when I had the trucks last year, that he worked for, I believe, Swift, or he worked for Prime or someone. He got a CDL through them. He stayed with them for a little bit. I was asking what he was making doing the team driving and all that. He said something like 33 cents per mile. And that's why he ended up breaking it off, because 33 cents a mile, this isn't when I haven't even been around that long. I think when I was 18 or 19, it was like 40 cents per mile. So I don't even know what it was, what year it was when it was 38 cents per mile. But that is what it is. I'm not a big fan of those driving schools. I'm not a big fan of the motor carriers that are doing the paid trainings, because really they're training someone something that doesn't really cost a lot to train, and they're getting free labor for a long time out of it. It's just not really my thing. But more power to them if that's how they got to do it. And if that provides an opportunity for someone that necessarily wouldn't have the money to go to a CDL school themselves, or doesn't qualify for one of the government workers, like, you know, grants or something to get a CDL, you know, whatever it is for whoever it's for. It's not for me. So that's that. You know, we talked about the ELDs a little bit. So it looks like the majority of the ELDs, contrary to what that statement that I read earlier said, it looks like the ELDs are still down. The majority of the ELDs are still down. Oh, I forgot. I do have one more article. So yesterday, towards the end of the day, towards the end of the video, I reported that I did get an anonymous tip that Landstar sent out emails to 450 BCOs saying, you're done, you're based in California, you're not going to be here. Well, I haven't been able to verify that yet, and neither has anybody else that's tried. And because I used to be a Landstar agent, I'm in all the Landstar social media groups online. Have not seen anything, but this morning, or actually yesterday, there was an email that was sent out to all Landstar BCOs, which essentially said, I'm just going to read one paragraph because it's a long letter. It goes into talking about AB5 and how it affects, you know, truckers and all that stuff. But then one sentence says, due to the uncertain legal environment created by the new law, Landstar will be reaching out to each BCO and operator who has a California-based address on file with Landstar to discuss some options relating to the potential impact of the new law. It will be up to each interested California-based BCO or operator to make his own informed business decisions with respect to how it wishes to react to AB5. So I don't know what that actually means. If that means maybe that they're going to say, hey, listen, you sign this piece of paper and we'll let you do whatever the hell you want, and as long as you absolve us of risk, I don't know. That message leaves a lot to interpretation, so I don't know what they're actually saying. And the one of the funny things too is apparently nobody's gotten any of these calls, because like I said, I'm in a group that combined 10,000 plus members of Landstar groups, and no one's saying anything. You know, there's people that have asked for, you know, if they get the phone call, please post what they're saying, because people are curious, and haven't heard anything yet. But let's see. James said they get sold the world and taken for a ride because they signed a contract. Absolutely. That's what I agree. That's why I don't like those training programs. It's just not my thing. So if you didn't notice last night, I wrote a I wrote two articles. I wrote about the freightway, the ARTI report. And mind you, that's a 48-page report. So I only covered like the first 10 pages and then I got tired or bored or whatever, fell asleep at my desk. So I didn't go into it too much. I don't hold a lot of clout to those reports because I feel like they're missing the little guys. They're missing the little, you know, any type of report like that, that, you know, in terms of brokerages, you know, performance and stuff like that, it's, they're not going after the right demographic. They're not going after my demographics. I can't really, you know, lean anyway. I can only report on what they say. But one of the other articles I wrote last night was why this ELD petition might be the push trucking needs. Maybe. And it was, again, it was about a lot of the stuff we talked about yesterday. It was talking about the article, which you can see if you go to freightbrokerlive.com, you'll see the article there. You know, I talked about the firmware crash and how we were the first people to break that news anyway, and how it could have been a bug, could have been hacked, could have been anything. And the statement that Ray released yesterday. And then I kind of got into the hypotheticals, and which are serious hypotheticals, and which is what changed my mind about the petition itself. So I'm going to go back and talk about a little bit about what we talked about yesterday, but I'm going to keep it down a little bit and not go as into it. But again, hypothetically, what if it wasn't 50,000 ELDs that went down? You know, I as I wrote in the article, what if it was 50,000 vehicle lane assists would suddenly stop working or malfunction? Or what if they suddenly there's a glitch and it said, oh, crap, you have a tree to your left, turn right, and then the truck goes off a cliff and, you know, crashes. You know what I mean? Or what if there's 50,000 autonomous trucks that suddenly lose connectivity and stop? You know, and I said that it really makes you think about it. It makes you think about how technology and as you guys all know, and as I wrote in here, I'm a huge proponent of freight tech, meaning that applies to a freight broker, not necessarily what applies to truckers. I do have an opinion on it based on my personal beliefs. I don't necessarily think we need all the fancy crap that they're doing. I don't believe we need it cars. I don't believe it's relevant or even makes it safer, to be honest, but that's my opinion, you know, but I don't drive a truck anymore. I don't own trucks. So I try to limit, the feedback on that. You know, originally when I talked about the ELD, I said, I can't support it because it was wrong because the reasons for it were wrong. And those are the reasons on the actual page. So you can go there. But then when you look at it from a bigger picture, maybe that ELD will just, or maybe the ELD petition, should it get 100,000 signatures? Who knows? They're not going to suspend the mandate. We all know that's not going to happen. And if you don't know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They are not going to suspend the mandate. But maybe, just maybe, they'll get that platform that everybody wants. Me included. I'm a freight broker. I don't like, you know, having to deal with the stigma of the mega brokers. I don't like, you know, I remember when the bond went up to 75,000. I didn't like that either. I don't like necessarily all the other things that everybody else says that we need to do it. It's the same thing with trucking. It's, you have all the big megas and everybody inserting their opinion on what necessarily is best for you as an independent operator, owner op, whatever. And I think that possibly a signed petition, whether or not you actually agree with what the petition's for, because ultimately it's going to fail. If you are hoping that the ELD mandate is going to be reversed because it gets 100,000 signatures, it's not. But maybe it'll open up a platform so that someone can get out there and say, hey, listen, this is what we're, these are the problems. I've gotten so many different arguments because people don't really read or don't really relate to the real issues. They say, oh, it's ELDs. ELDs are the reasons people crash. ELDs this. No, and I'm not going to go into it again. That's not the reason. You know, hours of service have a lot of the response. If you think about it, hours of service can literally be tied to every single, if not 10, actually, they could probably be assigned to all of the critical issues in trucking. Think about it. Driver detention pay, blah, blah, blah. That has to do with hours as well. Drivers wouldn't be as pissed off as they are if they have to sit at a shipper for 6 hours if there was something done about their hours and so that they were able to either, one, get compensated fairly for the detention time because they're losing time by driving by sitting 6 hours at a shipper or receiver, especially if they have to be on the clock. Or, secondly, the clock stops or whatever, you know, to make that better. Driver retention and driver shortage, bolt myth, all that stuff, all that there would be way more drivers out if it was back on paper logs. I guarantee there's drivers, and I'm not talking the guys that are up on social media saying, I parked my truck 6 months ago, couldn't run the ELD. Well, that's just crap because you weren't doing it right in the first place. That's why you did that. But I'm talking about the people that hear all the negativity surrounding trucking. And because trucking's never been a glorious job. It wasn't when my dad did it. It wasn't when I did it. It wasn't when I owned trucks. It was never like the glorious job. Like, oh, I'm going to go be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to be a politician. I'm going to be a truck driver. Or at least not for me. Maybe it was for some other people. You know, when I drove, it was awesome. I got to see the country. It was very nice. But there's a stigma about it. So I think if you can eliminate something like the hours, or not eliminate it, modify it so it's actually practical, the hours of service, it may attract people, which could fix their mythical driver shortage there. There's so many of the issues, parking, all that stuff. That is the number one precursor why a lot of the critical issues that are out there in trucking right now exist are because of hours of service. As I firmly believe, and I said a million times, ELDs are not, you know, everyone said, oh, beat the clock, ELD is the clock. No, the hours of service is the clock. ELD is the force that you have to be, that you have to deal with. That is the thing that's going to say, hey, listen, this guy did not follow the rules and regulations, and now you're going to catch him because he can't fudge this one. But with that said, and that's the reason why I decided to sign the petition. And that's the reason why I decided that everyone should sign the petition. Because maybe, just maybe, knock on wood, cross your fingers, whatever. Maybe, just maybe, it'll just bring a little bit more light into the type of the business that people don't see it. That people don't see. You know what I mean? I don't know. It is what it is. All right, let's see what some of these comments are. And then I'll open it up. I do have a phone line, guys, active today, just like always. Or always recently, which is the same number. It's 914-803-4008. That number is 914-803-4008. I don't want to talk too much about the ELD stuff because I don't want it to be repetitive. We could talk about pretty much anything else. We could talk some sales stuff. We could talk about business. Is now a good time or a bad time to get into trucking? You're going to get a broker's opinion. I'm no longer a carrier. I don't necessarily still have that same mindset. Now, I'm a little bit different than other brokers because I do have a carrier mindset, and I use that to anyone that I've trained or anyone that listens to me should know that. I'm not your standard guy, kind of heavily opinionated and say things the way I want. But at any rate, let's read some of these comments.
Amazon.
But a bookstore. James said, we already talked about that. Don Fuller said, greetings. James said auto brake. Yeah, the auto braking systems, all those systems, they're all garbage. I you know, like that, what is it, Eagle Eye or whatever, the computer, so replace your side view mirrors with cameras, and now you can, you know, it increases your visibility 180 degrees. That is awesome, but why? We've been getting away with just dealing with cameras for a long time. Why are we going to go out and spend, you know, an extra $5,000 on a set of cameras? You know, and then they're like, oh, they tie in a lane assist, or you could see it in the corporate side. You could do this. To me, that's just technology stuff that doesn't necessarily better the situation. It's just going to make people more causative or cautious to get into the industry. Like the rear view cameras. See, that's a big thing. And I don't talk about those kind of stuff that much because I don't have anything to do with it. You know, I could tell you what, if I decided, hey, screw it, I'm going to jump back in a truck. I'm tired of being a broker, tired of making these videos, tired of doing all this stuff. I'm going to jump back in truck. I could tell you, I don't give a crap how much they're paying me. There's no way in hell I'm getting behind a camera or a rear facing camera in the truck. No way. What if I'm driving down the road, it's been 10 hours. I got to scratch my, you know, my area or something like that. And then it's picked up on camera. I sit there and I pick my nose and I answer the phone, or I pick my nose and I can't wash my hands. And then I go and take a bite of food or something. Like I can just imagine the operational staff just sitting there going, look at what this guy's doing. I would never do that. Never. And I don't think anybody should. I think that's a complete violation of trust. And I think any companies that require that should not be working, in my opinion. They shouldn't be open. But that is a big topic. And there are companies that are out there literally requiring it. And I know part of it's the insurance requirements. Because there's so many crappy carriers out there that are just crashing trucks and not driving responsibly. And I know people are going to be like, that's because of ELDs. Well, whatever. We're not getting into that anymore. But there are people that, frankly, are driving 80,000-pound trucks that have no idea how to drive a truck. There's people that are driving 40,000-pound hotshots that shouldn't be doing it either. You know, there's people out there driving vehicles, cars, trucks, motorcycles, buses, everything that shouldn't be driving. But the thing is, when you do it for a living, you should know what you're doing. And when you don't, and everybody thinks trucking is a good time to get in, and they jump in the truck and they start driving, they have an accident, they quit saying, oh, screw it, I'm not going to be a trucker anymore. This sucks. And the insurance rates all skyrocket. That's why all these reverse facing cameras and all that stuff are happening, because you're trying to find a way to make it better, a way to just make trucking better. You know what I mean? And make it, and remove costs. Unfortunately, the way that they think to make trucking better and the way they think to make the freight industry better is not necessarily what everyone will align with. Like me personally, I'm a big believer in freight tech and freight marketplaces and everything to do with freight. Everything to do with freight tech on the broker side of things and the shipper side of things and warehousing and even loading and offloading, you know, all that stuff is awesome. You know, that video watching in LA where they're using autonomous stuff just to move around the containers at the port, that was awesome. I sat there literally like a kid watching it and saying, this is cool as shit. And see how they all turn, they're turning on a dime, doing everything the exact way they're supposed to. That's awesome. You know what I mean? Anyone who says it's not, it's just full of BS, in my opinion. But there has to be a limit on the trucking side of things, I think, because right now, I was talking to a couple of people about it today. We have gaps. We have gaps. And I remember when I was a sales director with a big company, and we used to have all these executive meetings, and we'd sit, and I was young. I was like 27, I believe. We'd have these executive meetings. And I'd walk in, I'm all like, yeah, whatever. I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt, but usually it was like a button-down, untucked button-down. These guys are all wearing suits and everything. They're just coming to the office. They're not meeting anybody. It's just the way they did it. We all sit down. I'm like, all right. I look around, and I am literally the youngest person by 20 years at this table full of executives. My direct lead was a vice president. He ran like the 1940 Olympics. You know what I mean? And like, these guys were old. And so the way that and nothing against the older people, the older generation, I'm just saying there's such a big gap in logistics. There was like there's a 20 year period. So you have, and it goes the same with drivers. You have drivers that have been on the road, had know what they're doing. Great drivers, perfect miles, doing what they're supposed to. You know, they're used to doing it, however they do it, whether it's acceptable or not, that's what they're used to. And then you have all the people my age where we're more tech bound and we're, you know, ready to try to change something, you know, and just not just drive. We're trying to, you know, change and just make it a better situation. And then there's another gap. If you guys haven't noticed that, there's another gap in age between like 32 to, I don't know. I don't even know. Do we still have young drivers coming out and doing it? We're pretty soon, if they get their way, we're going to have 18-year-olds on the road. But there's a gap too, you know, and it's the same thing with logistics as well. Now there's a crap ton of 30-year-olds, between 30 and 40-year-olds that are out here working in logistics, even some younger, you know, 25 to 30 or 25 to 40. There's still a gap. Why is anyone going to want to get involved in the industry if everyone just bitches about it? Imagine thinking that you're looking about, you know, creating a job. Everyone's on Facebook now, and you jump into one of these trucking sites and you just read all the horror stories that everyone writes. Or you hear all the crap when you jump into a broker site and everyone's like, brokers suck. They take too much money, margins, blah, blah, blah. Abolish brokers, abolish ELDs, abolish hours of service, abolish drivers, speak English only. It's such a nasty industry when you actually think about it, you know? So with this perceived driver shortage, and I say that always in quotation marks, even in my articles, if you read it, every time driver shortage is mentioned, it's in quotation marks. I don't believe on it. But it's just, if you guys want to help the business and you want to help it make it better, stop complaining about every single little thing. Pick a topic and try to fix it. Don't say, okay, I'm going to go after ELDs and I'm going to spread all sorts of BS about ELDs when the hours of service is the true issue. I'm not going to – that's it. I know we keep talking about the same thing over and over. All right, let's see what some of these are. Josh, what's up, buddy? Wayne, what's up, Wayne? He said, what if drivers are actually drivers? I don't know. God, that's a novel thought, right? Drivers that actually just drove and enjoyed it, did it for the reasons why they used to, did it for why I started, because it could just get out on the road, just be away, you know? I don't know. It's everyone with social media, everyone has a voice, which is awesome. I mean, I wouldn't have this video. I wouldn't have the opportunities that are presenting themselves. You know, I'm going to be going to Freight Waves Live in Chicago next week. which I'm super stoked about. You know, I'm going to get to see all these different things and do all the stuff that I would never be able to do if people weren't on social media. But at the same time, I think people need to take a step back, because it's really social media is going to be one of the things that ruins this industry for drivers. It's not going to ruin it for brokers, guys. So the only thing you're actually doing when you are protesting and saying it's this fault and this fault and oh, stop the truck, stop the highways, flip the middle fingers. When you do all that stuff, it's just putting a negative spin on you. It's not affecting brokers. It's not affecting the people you claim to hate or claim to say are bad, because our tech is going to keep evolving, hopefully. And hopefully someday they'll find a working product where it does what it's supposed to do. But I don't know. And I know a lot of people have said the same thing, so I'm not going to keep going on that. What do we got here? Wayne said, we being watched every day. Yeah. Oh, that's about the reverse cameras. Yeah. I mean, you walk down the street, you're on camera. I have cameras all over the front of my house. I got a camera over my garage. I got one on the front door, and I got one on the other side of the house, all looking out at the street. We don't have cameras inside besides this one. You know what I mean? We have cameras on the cell phones. We got cameras on computers. We got cameras everywhere. It sucks, though. When we moved in, I didn't have any cameras in the front. And then people started breaking into cars, not necessarily in my neighborhood, but the cameras are up there for their protection. It's not up there for mine. I guarantee that. It's up there for them, because then I can say I got you on camera rather than going out and trying to catch them red-handed, beat the crap out of them. But that's me, you know? Wayne or Myron said, ELD and hours of service are pointless conversations. If the real problem is too many small trucking companies. All right. Well, I'm not even going there, dude. That's kind of silly. Let's talk about forcing 25% of the trucking companies out of business and larger mega carriers. Okay. Yeah. Cause that's going to happen. Anyway, I think you're just trolling, but I hope you're just trolling, but that's just, oh God, I'm not even going there. Watching from Vancouver. What's up, buddy? I can't say your name, though. I think I'll put that up here. Look, here's his name. You say that name, whatever. But nice to see you, buddy. Here's my phone number, 914-803-4008. If you're listening to this on one of the various platforms on YouTube, please make sure you like and subscribe. Hit the bell, because apparently that'll get it seen by other people. Or at least that's what all the other live streamers say, so I figured I'd do it. If you're watching this on Facebook, go over, click on my name, Freight Broker Live, and then bada bing, you know, follow. Hit that. I think you have to like and follow. If you want to see me go live every day, you got to follow it. all right, let's go to some of these other comments. Technology wins every time. I agree. I keep saying it. I'm a huge tech fan. I think everything tech, I think factoring companies should invest in tech heavily, find a way to automate the factoring, the actual like scan bills and all that. There's companies like HubTrans and a couple other tech providers for factoring that are doing just that. You have the freight marketplaces coming out. You got companies, LoadSmart, Convoy, Uber, all those companies that are doing it. You have the dreaded
Amazon,
you know, doing whatever the heck world does.
World domination
for Amazon. But there's also, and I really hope, because I turned down the sound on this so I don't get a hit echo, so I really hope that it wasn't just you were hearing me make a funny noise and it was the software, but whatever. Fran said, when I see a lot of old people driving around, it reminds me of the South Park episode when all the old people are driving at the same time. Yeah, I've never seen it. Not a big cartoon fan. Yeah, don't judge me. I know. My brothers all like cartoons. My wife even will watch it. She doesn't understand. Like, they used to watch The Simpsons and crap like that as a kid. You know what I did? I rewrote the American Constitution, or the United States Constitution. You think I'm joking too, don't you? I had that. I just rewrote it because I was bored. Several times. Rewrote it a lot, actually. But Carl said, hey, from Canada. Thanks for coming out and putting this together. Thanks, buddy. Make sure you like, subscribe, follow, share with all your friends. But, you know, if you haven't seen my show, normally I don't get this into the trucking side of things. I talk broker. I talk a lot of sales stuff because that's kind of my way. That's where I've been successful. I wasn't a successful truck driver, guys. I'll be honest with that. I had a big trucking company. I had a bunch of trucks, and I lost it. So I can tell you, I wasn't necessarily the most successful trucking company. I didn't lose it because of mismanagement. Well, yes, I did, actually, because I was growing too quickly. I wasn't saving money. I was just investing in more equipment, hiring more drivers. not hiring the type of quality driver that I should have been, and not managing the profits the way I should have been because I just kept buying more crap. So when I had, you know, shitty drivers driving, you know, brand new trucks and they start crashing them, and yeah, it was just not smart. It was not a smart choice. I should have just stayed one truck, one driver. It's too easy to grow, you know. Plus, you know, we had a low cost to operate because I had good deals on the trucks and all that stuff. So I made money in trucking, but I also lost it very quickly too. But yeah, I'm a sales guy. That's what I like to do. I like to make the videos and talk sales and stuff. Maria said, take me with you. Katya said, yay, freight waves next week. Yeah. Yeah, it should be fun. I'm super stoked for it. Cause I think, the last one, the Transparency 19, my wife kept calling me a dork. Cause I had it streaming from a laptop onto the big screen in the living room. And I literally sat there and did everything in front of that damn TV. I watched every single presentation they had, all the tech, you know, tech presentations. I thought it was awesome. So when the opportunity to come showed up, you know, earlier today, I'm like, this is awesome. I'm super stoked about it. And I'll report on it. I'll talk about some of the cool stuff I see because it's awesome. Rishi Shukla said, How much sales margin do you do a month? I don't know. I mean, I do know, but I'm not going to get into that. I do a lot. I'm a volume guy. I make a lot of money. You know, I used to make more because I wasn't making all these videos and doing all this stuff. So, but I do well. So you can make a lot as long as you know what you're doing. But again, I don't make it just from starting on day one and being like, oh, guess what? I'm making money. You know, it took me a long time to build up my book of business and build up the network and the people that I talk to. You know, I don't base it anymore just on, you know, freight broker sales margin. I base it on everything I do. And everything I do makes me a decent amount of money. So, and that's why I spend as much time as I do doing it all. You know, that's why I was up till 11:30, 12 o'clock last night typing articles away. You know, that's what I like to do. Hopefully one day, and it looks like it could, hopefully one day this all pays off very soon. And I'm talking about everything, my whole career in the industry. I'm not talking about just making videos. I'm not talking about just being a broker. I'm talking about everything about the industry, you know, because I feel like I've built a wealth of knowledge and now, you know, give me the platform. That's what this is. This is the platform to get it out there. But Carl said, what do you say? Cheers from all of us in Alberta. Wow, we got some Canadians up here. I'm from New Hampshire originally, not from there, but I lived up there previously. So I'm used to the cold you guys have. Not your cold, but pretty darn cold. Myron said, not trolling at all. Check the history. All right, buddy. I'm not going to go. I remember what you're talking about. You're saying, you know, get rid of the little trucking companies. But this was your statement. So I don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe you're commenting. I don't know. I'm not going to engage in that stuff. That's cool though. I mean, whatever your opinion is, you know, the megas, clearly they want to put out the small trucking companies, but clearly everyone else wants to come in. Do I believe there needs to be some sort of hours and service regulations? Of course I do. Okay. Because you can't let people run like idiots down the road. Do I believe that we need an ELD system to mandate proper hours of service that are actually put into effect? Of course I do. I'm contrary to what you guys don't want that overreach. You don't want government knowing what you're doing. Who gives a shit? If you got a cell phone, they see everything you do anyway. So why not just plug a little computer in there as long as the hours are fixed? And you have the appropriate hours so you can generate money. So when the revenue comes down, you're able to run and make a living. You know what I mean? When I was driving, I couldn't spend 10 hours off duty in a truck. I'd lose my freaking mind, dude. I sleep like 5 hours Monday through Friday. And then on weekends, I'm lucky if I can get 7. Not that I don't try to get more than that. It's because I have kids and they're loud and obnoxious. My wife doesn't care that I'm trying to sleep. So she just lets them be loud and obnoxious. But I can't do 10 hours. Can't do 10 hours. And with my mindset and who I am and all that stuff, you know, I can't sit and just not do anything. I have to do stuff. You know, that's why I like driving, because I would sit and I would come up with whole plans on how I'm going to save the world. Not really. How I'm going to take over the world. Like
Amazon.
But, you know, I would come up with books. I would sing songs. You know what kind of songs I wrote when I was driving truck? I'm not going to sing for you guys, but I would do so much random crap when I was driving and I loved it. And I used to say it's like therapy. I used to take off once a weekend a month, or maybe a weekend every 2 months. Even when I owned the trucks, I would just take off and just tell my wife, hey, I'm going to run, you know, I'm going to run to Texas or I'm going to do something just to get the hell out of the house. But I love it. I love the industry. All right. Carl said, Alberta, we got you there, buddy. Rishi, the sales margin, blah, blah, blah. In terms of sales, the total margin, I do a lot. My profit, what I actually take home, is decent. But I, you know, a one broker shop, if you're doing 20 grand a month, you're doing well better than, or you're doing really well, especially if you have an agent split or something like that. You know what I mean? It's not hard when you actually think about making money. It's not that hard to do it on the broker front. Seems like it's getting harder and harder to do on the carrier front. I've turned down more loads as a broker because I couldn't offer a good rate to a carrier. And I'm not even talking like a rate. I'm talking rates that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars below DAT. Hundreds of dollars below DAT. I had a sub-agent today book a load. It was going 517 miles, paying $550 to the truck. She works for me. But or she's a sub-agent. She has her own agency office. I'm happy. It was her first load she booked. $100 profit on the load for her. Do you know what's insane? She posted that rate. You know how many phone calls she had about that load? Because she forgot to post her extension. So I was answering the calls while I was sitting here working, forwarding the calls to her back and forth over and over and over. Super repetitive, boring stuff, but you do what you got to do. She had so many people were calling for that load, and apparently that's the lane, New Mexico or, you know, New Mexico to Texas. That's what it pays. And then there's another one that I saw today. It was crap. It was paying less than $1 a mile. You know, there's a comment on one of the Facebook groups that someone's been moving a load for $1,900 all day, every day. No problems getting trucks. 780-mile run or something like that. And then they lost the account to J.B. Hunt. J.B. Hunt apparently is offering $700. Of course, that means J.B. Hunt is offering that to carrier. Do I believe this guy was actually paying carriers $1,900 for the 700 miles? No, because anyone can scoop that customer. There's no reason for the customer to stay unless it was a necessity. But that those are – it's a big people like that that'll go and undercut it. I tell my all the people I train, if I get a customer and it's a big customer, if I get an undercut a rate, meaning that I have to go really low, potentially take a loss on the load just to make sure I get that business, I'll absolutely do it. And if that means offering a cheap rate to carrier, then if I have to do it to get the business, I will. Because in all honesty, the way I work as a broker, so I say, okay, especially if I get like contract rates or LTL, I increase my margin as time comes. So I start off with every customer with a really low margin. And the reason I do that is to get the business, to get them engaged, to be like, ha-ha. So they feel like, hey, I'm getting him. He doesn't know. You know, I'm paying $200 more with J.B. Hunt or Uber, like happened the other day. I got Uber. I beat out Uber on a price. How many brokers can say they did that? And still made $175 commission on it. You know why? Because I shipped it intermodal. That's the key. Right there, shipping freight intermodal, if you can, if you're in a good lane, you know, because you know how rates are down, you know how carriers don't want to take the cheap freight anymore. So put it on intermodal because you'll still make a ton of money. I don't know if any of you guys are actually brokers or any of that stuff now, but that's the truth, you know, because the more carriers complain about freight and say, oh, we're going to bump the dock or we're not going to move our trucks or any of that stuff, ship it intermodal. If it's in the lane, you can do it and you're going to make a lot of money. Wayne said cartoons are for Saturday mornings. Yeah, they were. I mean, my dad was a big news guy, so he watched news all the time. I remember him watching Fox News, but then I watched the beginning of that Fox News series on Showtime or whatever channel it was, and apparently Fox News wasn't around when I remember, so that means he was watching CNN, which means that, oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not talking politics. CNN used to not be bad either, but whatever. No more talking about those channels. Can't do that kind of stuff anymore. Carl said, yesterday I've been watching for a while. LOL. Oh, thank you, buddy. We all learned from our mistakes, he said. Lamar said, you have been moving freight all day and you still have this much energy. Is drinking all that water the secret to your energy? No. Actually, talking to you guys is the secret to my energy. Making the videos. To be honest, I didn't really move any freight today. So what I was doing this morning is I got carried away and I was watching the Freight Waves video. And then I stopped. And something told me I was listening to Sirius. And then I had some stuff to do around the house because I was just, you know, and then finally I had a training at 10 o'clock. And then I waited for my customer to come through and send me the load list. And then he finally sent it, but it was already like 12 o'clock. And I knew I wasn't going to build all the loads and do all that crap. So I just said, screw it. I'm not going to book anything today. So, and that's not true, because what I'll end up doing, yesterday was a day off from the gym. Today I'll go to the gym. When I get home, I'll be all amped up on pre-workout at that time, and I'll sit at the computer and quote 100, 200 shipments. And then I'll get 10 of them, and then I'll be happy for another week. You know, it is what it is. I haven't been moving much for my big customer, just because I'm trying to give them the cold shoulder. Every now and then with your customers, you guys know, the brokers out here, you know, every now and then you got to check your customer. You got to say, oh, you got to pay attention a little bit. You got to, you know, oh, you're working with too many brokers. Yeah, I'm just going to take a step. I'm going to take a step back. And then you call me later when you see how much you miss me. And that's what I'm waiting for, that call. It's been a couple of weeks now. I haven't got it yet. So I don't know. Maybe they don't need me that much. Or maybe it's just because all the other brokers in the world are undercutting it. You know, when I started working with them again, they were working like 5 or 6 other brokers, which is fine because I could beat them out for 10 or so shipments a day. But now I looked the other day, there's like 15 brokers that they're working with. That's too many. Too many. So I just stopped doing that stuff. Wayne said, really? Nobody beats on Uber or Amazon. Stop. Well, I did, because like I said, it shipped to intermodal, because Uber does it the same way. Uber, all those big companies, all the brokers are all doing it the same way. What they're doing is they're bidding out stuff extremely low, getting the customer hooked, and then raising the rates as they can. So what ended up happening is I got the customer. Now, this customer, this is another thing. I emailed this customer, a cold call email, warm call, whatever. You know, I pre-qualified him before I called. I emailed the only person I could find, which was a director of operations, sales director, whatever he was. He was a director within the company, a high up. I said, hey, listen, I can handle this load for this much. This guy, instead of just forwarding my email, he must have went to them and said, how much are we paying on this lane? Wow, this guy beats him way out. Give him the load and send him a rate send him a quote every single time. So I booked that load. It was all good. And then every single quote I've been getting back from the lady, she's like, yeah, give me a quote for this. And then I give her the quote, and she's like, oh, you're $200 higher than what I currently pay. And I'm like, okay, well, so finally the last time she did it, I said, well, listen, why don't you send me a message or send me a quote next time with the rate you want to pay, and I'll tell you whether or not I could quote it, or whether or not I'll be, you know, close, because I don't want to keep wasting my time running quotes and all this stuff for you to be like, I beat it. So, well, that's what it is. But I did. I beat
Uber.
I did beat Amazon. No one can beat Amazon.
They will beat everybody.
But that's my thing. Carl said he has 2 sponsors. Okay, I don't know. You have 2 sponsors, awesome support, true intermodal. Okay. 2 sponsors. I don't know. Maybe that's a Canadian term. I don't know. Are you talking about shippers? 2 shippers? I don't know. Carl said, nice, LOL. Any recommendations for intermodal going from USA to Canada, leaving Los Angeles? I don't know. I mean, the last one we did on XPO Stack Train, and then before that was CSX, both going up to the Chicago area. I don't know who runs. I don't do intermodal stuff through Canada. And to be honest, I don't do intermodal that much. I want to, because it's a huge amount of money. I know I used to, and then I kind of forgot about it, you know. I used to ship it a lot, and I would make a lot of money on it. I used to take 3 parcels, put them all in 1 intermodal container, transload them myself, and then ship them on a train, and then just deal with the customer. It used to be easy back then, you know. We used to, when I consolidated freight from Jersey to California, that's what we did. It used to be easy. We didn't have all the complaints. We didn't have requests for tracking apps. We didn't have any of that crap. You know what I mean? So I'd go and pick some up. Oh, when are you going to be there? About 6 days. It wouldn't leave my warehouse until the 3rd day, 6 days on a train getting there, you know. Customer calls, where is it? Well, it's still here. Here's the tracking for it. It's on its way. We'll take it off as soon as it gets there, and we'll deliver it. It used to be a lot easier, you know. Now it's just everyone wants the tracking emails and all that. And now, and I see it from the broker side now, it makes it a lot easier. So much easier to be a broker and use tracking emails. I am instituting, probably effective next week, all my sub agents and myself, we will do a deduction if you don't use a tracking app. Now you're going to be like, whoa, why are you going to do that? Why are you going to be that kind of broker? Because it makes my job easier. Because it makes it easier for us to track loads. So if you either say, okay, yeah, you could send me that tracking app, which costs us $1 or it costs us $2 or whatever it is, $3 per load. And if you don't want it, that's fine. I'm just going to take $10 off the load. Yeah, full disclosure, I'm keeping that $10. But the fact is because I deserve it. I'm having to do tracking calls and deal with it when you're not answering and all that stuff. What shippers typically ship intermodal? Any shipper whose freight could be shipped intermodal. See what I did there? It's a lot of stuff. That's a baited question. Anything that's under 42,000 pounds that can fit in a 48 or 53-foot dry van or 43 intermodal van. So there's a lot. Pretty much anything that could fit that doesn't necessarily need to be rushed to a delivery. Anything that doesn't need to be rushed to deliver and can take its time that can go in a dry van. They're really strict on their detention and layovers and all that stuff, though, so you have to be pretty weary of that. You know, detention rates like 75 an hour after an hour for XPO, which if I knew that, I wouldn't even have booked them, you know. So I called my customer half an hour in. I'm like, oh, man, this carrier is going to charge after an hour for $75 an hour. I said, well, you didn't tell us that. And I said, well, I'm telling you now, load the damn truck. So they did. They got him out there, no detention. So whatever. But yeah, in terms of what can ship intermodal, it's pretty much anything that can go into drive-in. They do flatbed intermodal. I've seen people take – I actually worked for a company that used to just – they had their own intermodal like trailers, like the heavy-duty supported trailers. I don't know what the hell they're called. But they would drop them off at CSX. CSX would load them onto your UPS fast train, and they would be sitting in California 4 days later, sometimes faster than you could drive truck. I found a better way of shipping stuff because the 8 days ended up brokers started getting ticked off if their freight was taking 8 days from pickup to delivery, going coast to coast. So I ended up finding this company. They were like Asian team drivers, super nice, super awesome, super hard workers. And they did that lane going back and forth. I actually opened up a lane coming back from California and sending my own trailers and because it was cheaper. And they were for it. They're like, oh, yeah, we haul you a trailer, no problem. And they did. And they did it. They were always on time. They rode hard. You know, they drove, and I didn't have to pay them a lot. They were happy with the rate that I could pay because it was dedicated freight. But, again, that's when I was a shipper and a carrier and forwarder and all that stuff, too. It's a little bit different. But, yeah. So let me go through my little blurps, and then we can go through some other little blurp stuff and go through all that. So the carrier has to download the tracking app. Yeah. I don't even know if it's a tracking app or whatever it is. I think it's 4Kite. So basically you'll put the number goes in there, it sends a text out to the driver. Driver either accepts it. If he does accept it, boom, it's fine. Maybe I'll even reverse it. If you do accept it, I'll pay you $10 more. If you don't accept it, I'm taking $10 less. So you make $10 less. I don't know. I'll figure out a way to do it. So it's beneficial, but we do chickens fly ice, fly lice, chicken fly. I don't know what that means, but I was going to do some. Oh, so I was going to talk about some of this other stuff. So as always, guys, if you've never seen my show before, my name is Steve. This is Freight Broker Live. You could also go over to freightbrokerlive.com, which is down below. That is your complete source for all things awesome freight. I'm goofy today, boys. Boys and girls, I'm goofy. So I write articles. I write all different stuff about freight. I'm not in journalist, not yet, but I'm working on it. So the articles are good. And normally I rush to put them out and then I go back and edit them when I have a little bit more time and try to make them a better story. But yeah, and then if you're looking for a free 30 days of Trucker's Edge, which is the number one nation's leading load board, go to truckersedge.com/408339. Use this code, you get a free 30 days. Use this code, I get a referral fee, so it's very good for me. Also, if you haven't heard, so here's a thing that we're doing a little bit different. So every Thursday night at 6 o'clock from now until I decide I'm not going to do it anymore, I'm going to do a sales webinar. And it's going to be a trucking webinar. And it's going to be different than this. It's going to be me talking, but it's going to be all open. It's going to be a live question. All the phone lines are open, so you're going to have to connect with it, so you need a microphone. But I'm just going to answer different sales tactics from the carrier side, from the broker side, have a question about setting up a trucking company. Do you want to do it? Blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be advertised on social media. It's not going to be open to social media, and it's not going to be a recorded message. Now, what it is going to be exclusive for anyone who signs up on Patreon, however you say that word, which is down below, and all you talk show guys that are listening to the talk show, it is www.patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. And there you go, and you sign up to be a patron. It's every Thursday starting this Thursday, and plus there's a bunch of other perks to becoming a patron member. It is a paid service. You either can do $1, you can do 15, you can do 30, you can do 50, you can do 1,000. There's no limit on how much you can do. I think the minimum is $1, and it's every month. So you can do whatever you want. I have different tiers. You can read about it on there. I'm not going to spend too much time talking about it, but we do coffee cups. You know, every 3 months we'll send out fancy coffee cups, and the first group of coffee cups are going to go out next month. Oh, and the biggest part is we give away gift cards on the 10th of every month, 5 days from now, Sunday night, 6 o'clock, three people will win gift cards. We give away three gift cards, $100 gift card. Second one is a $75 gift card. And the third one is a $50 gift card. And go figure. Do you know who I purchased the gift cards from?
Yeah, you know who it is. It's Amazon.
I don't know, because it's super convenient. They make it so I can easily make buy an online gift card. And who doesn't buy everything they own
from Amazon?
But go over to Patreon, because I got ridiculed for saying Patreon, and then it's Patreon or Patreon and all that stuff. So go to patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. Sign up for it. It is optional. You don't need to do it. I don't require you to do anything other, but if you want to watch our Thursday webinars on sales, it is an interactive one. Now you could sit, be quiet, not say anything. You're not going to get as much out of it. And it's not going to be live on Facebook. It's not going to be live on YouTube, not going to be live on LinkedIn, not going to be live on Blog Talk Radio. It's only going to be live on Patreon. All right. And then again, here's a call in line. I got to switch back because I can't even see if anyone's called in. Nobody has. Let's see. That is it, Robert. We'll talk about that later. But that is the tracker. That's what I'm talking about. We do chickens. Oh, I get it. Oh, you're funny. I got it, Carl. Wow, that was way over my head. That was a long time ago, too. My bad. Robert, yeah, that's the one that's in there. And I'll explain it later. Eugene said, what are the lanes that you run? I run all over the country. My lanes, I work with a big shipper. So they have, I think, 50-plus locations. So they literally ship all over the place. But they're all very cheap partials on the dedicated stuff. They're all cheap partials. So they're not the best. They typically only work for dry van or reefers that are looking for backhauls or something like that. That's just how they work. Fran said he almost crashed due to these oldies. Okay, stop it. I'm not going to read that. Fran's Patreon. Okay, there you go. Eugene said, Steve, what lanes? I already talked about. What lanes do I broker? I just said that. I just answered that. Carl said, hey, did Linked hello you with your marketing? I have no idea what that means. Did Linked? I don't know who Linked is. I do all my marketing myself. So you see that website, the Freight Broker Live website? That's all me. That's why it takes so long for any changes to be made, because I'm literally doing the whole design, everything myself. Every logo I've made has been made by me. Everything I do is just me. I don't have a staff behind Freight Broker Live. It's just me doing it, which is why sometimes it looks the way it does and rushed, and I have tech difficulties. I have the big, nice software that should, you know, when I used to use the green screen and all that, can't do it anymore because it was not working, and I'm not that techie enough to figure it out, apparently. So I just gave up and said I'll go back to the old school way. I did figure out how to make the sound all right, how to broadcast it to Blog Talk Radio so people can not call in, even though people asked to do it. And then I write all the articles for the site. I've actively tried to recruit other people to write for the site and haven't had much luck, so, which is fine. There's big things in the future. So who cares? Carl said, it's okay. Hello. Okay. Carl said, help me, not hello. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about, bud. Carl said, so time consuming. It is. It's very time consuming to do all this stuff. But you know what? I do it because I like it. It actually gives me some sort of sense of gratification to make the videos and to write the content and to do that stuff. When I see an article goes viral or I see someone shared a post or shared one of my articles, I like it. You know, there's a one of you, Maria, that shares my post all the time on LinkedIn. I love it. You know, and I get notifications every single time. There probably will be a day if it grows up that eventually I'm just going to, the novelty will wear off. I was talking about that to someone earlier because I got recognized in the airport when I went to Ireland. And I was like, yeah, can you imagine? It's awesome. It's pretty cool. But then again, what can you do? All right. If no one's going to call in, no one else has any questions, I'm going to end this thing. So again, make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube if you're on YouTube. And if you're not, if you're watching this on Facebook, go to YouTube, look up your favorite or look up Freight Broker Live, which on YouTube, I'm Freight Broker Live. Look that up. Like and subscribe it, please. It just helps get everything because eventually I want to monetize that page so they play an ad before and after the video and I can get paid nothing for it. But that would be cool. Go to freightbrokerlive.com. You may get this. If any of you guys go to the site and you get this little pop-up notification that says, hey, would you like to be alerted or receive a notification? If that is actually working, can someone just send me a message and say, hey, listen, I did get that notification? Because I spent about 6 hours trying to put that push notification on there, and I don't know if it actually works or not because I can't see it, but it says it does. But yeah, check that out. Check out the site. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I did put a commenting section, so on every article now you can comment. If you like the article, like it. If you don't like the article, tell me why. You know, just be an adult. Don't get stupid and write all sorts of stupid stuff because that's just stupid, you know. Just be an adult. The same thing with my chats. Just be an adult. It's kind of sad telling adults to be adults, but you know what I'm saying. If you want a free 30 days on truckersedge.com, the nation's oldest and most well-known load board, go to www.truckersedge.com/408339. Now, here's one I forgot to mention. So I did have my friends over at OTR create this nice little video, but they didn't put any sound on it. And I am far too busy to do a voiceover at the moment. So the only thing I could say is if you're looking for a good factoring company, no, I'm sorry. Let me take that back. If you're looking for the best factoring company out there, I suggest you go over to OTR Capital. No, you go to my website. See, you can tell I'm getting tired now. You go to freightbrokerlive.com, click on the partners tab, and then click on the OTR logo. There you can request more information. My buddy over there, Anthony, will give you a call. He's a VP of sales over there. Good guy. He'll help you set up. If you're in a contract, we could buy it back. They do probably the best non-recourse factoring out there. 90-day contracts for non-recourse. They do all sorts of stuff. If you're recourse, you get a lower rate, blah, blah, blah. They may not be the cheapest out of everybody, but I guarantee the level of service you'll get from being an OTR partner is far, far better than you'll get anywhere else. And by the way, if you do call them directly, that's fine. Tell them that you were referred by Freight Broker Live. And if you don't, then you're not going to get the discount that I've applied. You get a special rate if you say you're with Freight Broker Live. And that's not a gimmick. Call them. Find it out. It's true. And then again, if you want to be part of our Thursday webinars, it's every single Thursday, or you want a chance to win a gift card, or you just want to say, hey, Steve, I really like all the effort you put into your videos, and here's whatever you give. Sign up for Patreon, which is patreon.com/FreightBrokerLive. Every Thursday, 6 o'clock Eastern time, you can log into Patreon, and then you will see a link to join the live webinar where we'll talk about pretty much anything. They're going to be sales-related, but we'll talk about broker sales. We'll talk about carrier sales. We'll talk about how to get your own customers. We'll talk about everything. I don't do PowerPoint presentations, if you can't tell. I kind of wing it all the time, which makes my presentations my webinars extremely interactive, meaning I want you to have a mic. I want you to be able to talk and ask questions and help. That's a goal. So go over to patreon.com/freightbrokerlive. Sign up for it. You know, there's fees and stuff. It's like $1 or more. It starts at $1 per month, but you could do whatever you want. You can choose whatever number. You can cancel after a day. You can do whatever you want. But it's your call. You can do it if you want. Next time, let's have someone actually call in on the 914 phone number because that would be super cool. Let's see. Alam said, what's a good resource to quote a partial? Here, this will be the last question for the day. And this is the way I quote partials. May not be the same way for everybody else. If it's less than 6 pallets, it's an LTL quote. So Alam, in your case, if it's less than 6 pallets, just email it to me and I'll send you a quote. If it's higher, more than six pallets, or it's flatbed, or it's a step deck load or something like that, then what I do typically is I take the DAT average or the truck stop average, whatever you prefer, or, you know, the average of all of them, wherever you get your rates from, where the full truckload rate, you take that and divide that by how many feet is on the trailer. So if it's a 48-foot trailer, divide the total rate by 48 foot. That'll give you your foot per mile calculation for it. Now, what I typically say is, okay, to get a really loose ballpark price, take the footage, like how many feet the actual product is going to take up on the trailer, add 5 foot, and then that's your number. That's your partial rate. That's your sell rate to the carrier. That's not your rate. You have to add a profit onto it. 5 is a very low end for it, you know, adding 5 foot of space, because that's essentially money. So imagine you have a trailer, you know, say each foot is $50 per foot. You have 10 foot and it's really hard to do just winging it like this. But say it's 10 foot, that leaves $500. Add an extra 5, that's $750 to the carrier. But if the whole lane, you know, of 50 foot, so that's $2,500, $750 to take up a third of a trailer, when the whole lane should be paying whatever it was, $2,500 to the truck, a driver's not going to take that. So you got to use kind of your brain a little bit in terms of figuring out the rate and figuring out market and stuff like that. But then again, it's hit or miss. That's the way I do rate. That's the way I figure out partials. Or typically I'll say, okay, so $750 is the lowest that I possibly should pay. So let me make this rate $1,500. And then make $100 myself. And am I going to go right out and offer the rate for 15? No, that's not what a broker does. I'm going to go out and offer the rate for 1,000, because that way I can make 1,600, or I can make $600 on the load. If I get a carrier to do it for $1,000, guess what? I made $600. If I have to go up a little bit in the rate, then I go up a little bit on the rate and pay the carrier more. The one thing I don't do as a broker, it's up to you guys whether you do it or not, I don't go back to my shippers for other money. For additional money, ever. I'll just give back. If it's a new customer and I don't have a relationship with them, I'll give the load back. If it's a bad customer, or if it's a existing customer and I need to, you know, I accept the load, I'll take the load. I'll move it at a loss, because I've already made money off of that customer in the past, or I should have, or I'm not working with them. But again, that was the last question of the day. Very good job. Very good question, if I don't say so myself. So again, make sure you go over to patreon.com, which is patreon.com/freightbrokerlive.com. Sign up if you want to be part of our live webinars, or you just say, hey, Steve, I really like your videos. Let me throw you a little bit like that. And you'll get t-shirts and all that, depending on what level you sign up for. I think it's $15 is where the coffee cup one. I think 30 is the coffee cup and the t-shirt. And the t-shirt's a goofy one. It's probably going to be my kid drawing something on a t-shirt, and then I'll have it printed. Not really. I'll get like fancy trucker t-shirts or something made. The first batch of coffee cups are not funny trucking things like I thought, because I uploaded the wrong logo. So it's just going to be my company logo on a regular coffee mug. But after that, they will be cool. There will be funny trucking memes and things like that on the, and probably funny freight broker memes and stuff like that on the mugs. But yeah, those are, it's all optional. You don't need to do it. But if you want to watch the Thursday webinars, you do. All right, guys, this has been fun. It's been real. I'm going to end the audio show. So I'm going to say goodbye to all the folks that are listening on Blog Talk Radio. See you later. And now I'm going to